Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey everyone! Konnichiwa! Welcome to Sailor Moon Crystal After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We are talking Act 19 Time Warp Sailor Pluto. I am Kaori Take, and I've got two lovely ladies with me. I've got Emma Fine!
Hello! So happy to be here.
I'm really happy to be here because you are a genius when it comes to Sailor Moon knowledge.
Yes, I like to think of myself as a semi-professional Sailor Moon expert. So
straight out of WonderCon. Yes. So thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
And next to her, my favorite, Markia McCarty. One of my favorites.
Hey, guys. You can follow me at Markia McCarty and also the hashtag ABTV Sailor Moon. Let's get the conversation going.
Yeah. You can tweet us all week long, hashtag ABTV Sailor Moon. A little long, but please do so. Questions, comments, all that good stuff. And where can people follow you, by the way?
They can follow me on Twitter at Emma Fife and find me on Instagram and basically every other social media at the exact same place.
Yeah, and me as well at Kaori. I think it's down here on a lower third that probably exists. So there you have it. All right, guys. So before we get into a little chopping, overall thoughts of this episode?
I mean, this is an episode I was really extremely excited about. It's an act of the manga I reread a lot when I was about 12, and I was not disappointed. I will say that. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, good.
I did not read the manga, and I still refuse to until the season is over, and I was thoroughly excited about this episode.
Excellent.
I enjoyed it, and whoa, what happened?
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, saying it right now is like, okay.
That was specifically why I reread this act of the manga so many times when I was a kid.
It's a big twist, definitely. Yeah. And I think they did a pretty good job at depicting it. It went by really fast. I had to watch it 3 times.
Oh, that happens.
As usual.
Yeah.
But I don't ever have a problem watching Sailor Moon Crystal over and over again.
No, I don't either. Actually, after the first episode, I watched the whole thing and I was just crying and so happy that I had to immediately watch it again. I didn't know what to do with myself.
It takes a little adjusting to get used to Sailor Moon Crystal.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's break down a little bit. Let's talk about Chibi Usa. I like to call her Chibi, by the way.
Yeah,
and that's,
yeah.
I understand that that's not her name, but that's what it is. So anyway, so yeah, she finally reveals that she's from
the future.
The way future.
30th century.
Future
Crystal
Tokyo.
Yes.
Yep. And what do you guys think of this whole thing where she's just, you know, let's talk about her relationship with her dad.
Her past dad.
I think it's cute. I mean, I know that some people, I mean, and don't get me wrong, Chibi Usa has got a serious Electra complex. Like, I'm not gonna debate that. But overall, I find that her interaction with Mamoru in Sailor Moon Crystal and in the manga is a lot less uncomfortable than it was in the old anime series.
Yeah, I agree.
In the old anime series, there were a bunch of times where, like, you felt like she almost was his tiny girlfriend. And in this case, you know, and it's something that they actually specifically address later on when he and Usagi have a conversation about it,
mm-hmm.
where she's like, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm getting jealous of this tiny child.
Yeah.
When really his relationship with her is a nurturing, fatherly kind of relationship.
Well, on his end, it's very nurturing and loving and sweet.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember when I used to watch it back in the day, I felt like she was doing it vindictively to get Usagi jealous.
Yes. And I don't feel that way at all
exactly.
in Crystal.
Yeah. I don't feel that way at all in this situation.
No.
However, Usagi does express that she is jealous of a little girl, mm-hmm. and she's embarrassed about it. And we have, like, the graphics of them going, what?
Yeah. Which I did love, because we don't get a lot of that in Sailor Moon Crystal.
Yeah. Yes.
Like those cutaways where it's like, big eye up. Ah!
Yes. Yeah.
I always found it interesting. I found it interesting in the classic series. I find it interesting now that they have where Mamoru-chan and Chibiusa are the ones that have the close relationship.
Yes.
While, you know, the actual past mom doesn't really have that connection mm-hmm. with her future child, which I find that, for me, this is a statement that is ridiculous, but I find that to be a little bit unbelievable.
Sure.
For that, but I did enjoy some of the scenic structures that they did. Like, for instance, when Mamoru-chan is talking to Chibiusa and she's like in bed, and then they have like, I guess it's his shadow mm-hmm. that's close to her mouth.
Yeah,
so then
so
it just kind of takes it to a different turn. And it's like, you know, that's not where he's coming from with it, and she's not also, yeah. but it was just like that picture is like, that's stuck in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to, like, Chibiusa's relationship with Usagi, it's very interesting because there is some kind of rivalry, especially for the affection and attention of Mamoru-chan. But when push comes to shove, you do notice that Usagi does want to protect her when it comes, like, when situation arises.
Yeah, you know? I totally agree. And, I mean, in Sailor Moon Crystal, they just bicker so much less. Than yeah. they so much less than yeah. they did in the 90s anime.
Okay.
I mean they still get at each other, and like I don't know, like later on in this episode there was the scene where when they first encounter another character who we'll talk about later, and they're like running and chasing each other around. So I don't know. I think that the juxtaposition between Chibiusa and Usagi, with them constantly arguing and bickering with one another, is to illustrate just how incredibly alike they actually are.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if we ran into ourselves, would we get along? Or would it be like, what is wrong with you?
But the question is, I mean, okay, like, at this level, do we know that Chibiusa knows that that's her mom right now?
I'm under the impression that Chibiusa does know that those are her parents.
Yeah, I would think so, too. So why is she being such a witch to her mom sometimes?
Yeah.
I think it's because of reaction to how Usagi is to her.
Yes.
And then also, she's under the promise with Sailor Pluto to, you cannot reveal, you cannot break this promise, this is taboo.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she took that to heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you guys think of this awkward lovemaking ? Scene where Mamo has to sit there and explain that, you know, it's ridiculous, I love you, and then pan to weird question, take it how you want it scene.
the infamous did they or didn't they scene from the manga. Well, here's the thing, is because in previous episodes, so back in the first story arc, in the Dark Kingdom story arc, when Usagi murders herself, you know, she stabbed herself with a sword. Mm. In the beginning of the next act of the manga, they have this whole montage of them, like, in their lives in the Silver Millennium. And in one of those, like, frames in the manga, there was a scene where she and Mamoru were both clearly naked. So I was nervous that they were going to cut this from Sailor Moon Crystal, or they were going to make it more obvious of, like, they definitely just, like, made out a little bit. But I was really impressed and happy that it was still just as vague as it was in the manga of, like, did they or didn't they?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, I'm of the they totally got in the bone zone camp. But so here's my thing about it. Whether or not they actually had sex, I like this scene because it shows that Usagi and Mamoru have this incredibly mature relationship. It starts with Usagi saying, I'm jealous of this little girl.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely ridiculous. I'm going crazy. And he's basically tells her that he had no idea she felt that way, and he really just wants to be with her.
Typical dude.
I did really enjoy the stylistic choices
made
for this. Like, in particular, when Usagi was being extremely honest with her feelings. And she was, you know, back to him, face to the window, but still obviously having this personal conversation with him. And then they showed with her going through her insecurity, going through the feelings, where she was kind of being, like, static fading out, you know, on a television screen. And then that's when he just had to grab onto her to be like, no, stay with me.
Well, and
stay with me right now, right here.
And in the manga.
I really loved that stylistic choice. Yeah.
And in the manga, in that scene, he literally says to her, you looked like you were about to disappear.
So, so
kudos.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's, they decide, well, basically, when it comes down to Chibi-Usa is hesitant to bring them to the future, but she decides to bring them to the future after a lot of pushing. But what do you guys think of Artemis and Luna's, you know, character in this episode? Because I think they did a great job, because we got a lot more Artemis.
Yes.
A lot more Artemis. You know, he was being a little pushy, like, yo, you tell us what we need to know.
Yeah.
Everybody was being very pushy.
Yeah.
Pushy this episode. They wanted answers.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, backtracking just a little bit, in that scene after Chibi-Usa is like, I want to stay over at Mamoru's tonight,
that like,
scene where you see, like, the silhouette of his face.
Yeah.
He basically tells her, you better tell us. And take us to the future, but like in the most gentle way possible.
It's like he knows that she will do whatever as long as he's the one that's asking.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, then he read it right.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He was pretty clear though that he's like, yeah, you're gonna need to take us to the future if you want us to do anything about this. But I loved Luna and Artemis in this episode.
Yeah,
I just always love when we get to see more from those sort of secondary characters.
It's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you also have to sort of justify at the end of this episode, you know, we see Diana turn up in the 30th century. So you have to justify the relationship between Luna and Artemis to get to that.
You have to love the Luna features with Artemis coming.
Yeah.
Although something that was super interesting to me, classic and now, is like, why is there only one? Shouldn't there be like six?
I know. That's
a really good point.
Just saying. I mean, shouldn't there be like Diana, Dina, and you know, Derek and such and such. At least five of them, so we can have like a little cutaway where the five of them are like little fighters.
That would be so cute. What a great thought.
That would be so cute.
Yeah.
I'd watch that spit off.
Luna has
to make memes.
We should make memes. Mm-hmm. Extra. Yeah. Derek. Name your cat Derek, guys, according to Marquis and McCarty. What do you guys think of that dream that Luna had?
Amazing.
I like that. I really enjoyed that.
It was a repressed memory.
Yeah.
Hands down, it was. A cat had repressed memory about an important event that, you know, then helped them, you know, where they are now. So it's like that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love her shock face when they see that little Diana. They're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We do hook up. Or I don't know what they do, you know, in the control room or whatever. But
let's be honest, what other talking cats do they know that also fight crime?
I know. Like, might as well get this
fair.
Okay, so let's talk about the bad guys in this episode.
Esmerald.
Yeah.
A lot of people. I always get the names confused.
Yeah, well, and it's also especially confusing for people such as ourselves, and I'm sure many viewers who watched the Deke dub growing up, and all of these characters had their names changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I still to this day will sometimes be like, Prince Diamond, no, Demond, and Prince Saphir, not Sapphire, you know?
Yes, and in case you guys don't know, like, Demond in French actually means to ask.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a reasoning, because they said petite étrangère for the other one before.
Yes.
So there's a lot of tie-ins to that. So these guys are going to go out and they basically meet up with them in the future.
Yeah, well, because they figure out that Chibi-Usa has used the key to time and is trying to travel back to the future.
Yeah.
That she stole.
Yes.
So Chibi-Usa.
Very, very much so.
And we'll go back to Sailor Pluto. I'm saving the big one for the end.
Yeah,
of course. Let's talk about that fight scene.
I do have a disappointment with her. So when we come back to her, I do have a disappointment.
Okay. Yeah. I do too, but it's very minor.
All right, so let's talk about the fight scene, because for a second there, I thought they were in deep shit. Excuse my French.
I legitimately felt the exact same way. I was like, this is a serious battle.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And originally I wrote that the Boole brothers were like the Spectre sisters light. But they were throwing down.
They were. I mean, her halation thing wasn't working.
I know.
And they tried everyone. The Venus Love Me chain and the smoking La Bombe, whatever nothing.
Tuxedo-less smoking bomber.
Yeah. Tuxedo has powers.
Yes.
He does.
What?
I know.
I mean, he's the one that somehow managed to get them out,
yeah,
too.
He does. He breaks them loose from the you know.
Yeah, by shattering the crystal floor.
Yeah. He shatters the crystal floor, and they break out of the magnetic sphere. And I do have to say that I wrote down, I applauded when Sailor Venus killed the two Buhl brothers with Love Me Chain. I swear, anytime I'm watching Sailor Moon Crystal, like, my neighbors must think I am watching a sporting event.
It is a sporting event.
Was that the first time we saw the Love Me Chain and Circle for... Sailor Moon Crystal?
I don't think
she's
so.
Used it a couple of times. Yeah. But
I guess this was the most effective.
Yeah.
Well, the most standout.
Exactly.
I'm really happy, by the way, that Venus didn't get stolen like the other Sailor
Moon. She didn't. That's good. I mean,
she's the leader.
She's the general, so she's got to stay next to the commander-in-chief.
I mean, and it's exactly. Nice. It's nice to, like, have this romantic thing not be, like, she kind of breaks that when she's around them, which is nice, I just want to say.
Palette cleanser.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, Tuxedo Mask hears, I guess, his future self, and that's what drives him to break them free. Mm-hmm. And, and then he sees himself. And I guess we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks or so.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed that fight scene. It was actually really scary for me. Like,
it
was trapped behind
super
crystals.
Intense.
Yeah.
How do they break out? Uh-huh. Oh, thank goodness for Tuxedo Mask and newly discovered power.
Yes. Yeah, and which is great because it's showing how much more important he's slowly or quickly becoming. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in the first arc, he was kind of just her love interest, mm-hmm. a little bit more. But now he's become being more defined, which I really appreciate.
Maybe it does go towards that whole thing of you become the friends that you hang out with. This is like a superhero aspect of it.
I would love to hang out with someone with superpowers then.
Yeah.
Into your own inner superhero chi.
Yeah, I know. Right?
I am in the market for some superpowers of my own. So if you have some, please, I will come hang out with you.
What would be your superpowers then?
Teleportation.
Oh, that was quick.
I've always thought about that. I have to put limits on myself. I'll say, you know, only within a mile, but I get to take my clothes with me.
That's good. I would be like Nightcrawler, so I'd have like short range teleportation and super speed.
You guys are similar.
Yeah, similar.
I think similar too, but I would do space time continuum.
Time magic.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna go back in time and do that right again. Or let me not date that guy. there's that.
That's pretty great.
But let's talk about Sailor Pluto. She makes her way into this act, and she's basically the doorway to the future.
Yes.
The guard.
The solitary guardian.
Yes, solitary guardian. She
Which
can't
is
even.
Beautiful.
And she's just got to stay there. She's like, take care of my girl.
Once
How does she eat? What does she eat?
I don't know.
She eats plutonium. I don't know.
She just subsists entirely on the like vague mist of the space-time vortex in which she lives.
Then she's an alien. She's the only alien guardian.
All right, so let's get rid of the negatives first because you guys clearly have a couple. So let's do this.
I was thoroughly disappointed in a minor disappointment way is that we finally get to see Sailor Pluto. We've been waiting for her. We knew that it would happen with, Chibiusa, and they're going to have to go back to the 30th, go back to the 30th century,
yeah, I know, that's funny.
Go back to the future. And she got to do her attack. She got to do Death Scream on, you know, Tuxedo Mask, on Sailor Moon, on Sailor Venus, on Luna and Artemis. Yeah. And they just kind of poo-pooed it. You know, it was the cuts and everything, but we didn't get what we have gotten with every other Sailor Guardian. We did not get to see the animation of Death Scream. And that was one of my absolute favorites for the Outer Sailor Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see it. I wanted to see, you know, the moon dip down.
Yeah.
The Pluto dip down and then like the drop swirling around or however they decided to do it this time. And then for it to just be a series of purple cuts on them, I was disappointed.
Fair enough. That makes sense. Yeah.
I was just disappointed she didn't come on singing her song from Petite Étrangère.
I guess, you know, they didn't have time in the 22 minutes that
yeah,
we
exactly.
had.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't make it a musical. It's fine.
It made me actually think about how, like, you know, when it was initially written, Pluto mm-hmm. was considered a planet, and now it might be a star. I'm like, maybe that's why. But then that was me just thinking way too much.
Yes.
But I am happy to see her. She looked great. And, you know, I like her relationship with Chibiusa because it's yes. a side with Chibiusa where she feels comfortable, taken care
yeah.
of.
Mm-hmm.
And it also shows, like, how important Chibiusa was in yeah. the future because she's a princess. And they're like, what? She's a princess? You know?
Now you're going to have to treat me even better.
Yeah, she did say that, right?
The animation yeah. in that scene was so cute. I just was like, no, Chibiusa is the cutest little thing.
Yeah.
I love her relationship with Sailor Pluto because basically you have these two characters who are loners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sailor Pluto is isolated. Literally, people are not allowed to know that she exists. So she lives in complete isolation, like guarding
Poor
the door
girl.
At a time. Mm-hmm. And Chibiusa is this underdeveloped little girl who should be
with
able
a lot
to,
of responsibility.
With a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. She's the heir.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, she's not developing at the correct rate, and she's not able to use the power of the silver crystal. As Sailor Pluto points out when she tells her, you know, I went back in time because I just thought that maybe the silver crystal mm-hmm. of the past was way more powerful than this one, and if I had both of them, and Sailor Pluto is like,
nope, same shit.
It's the same crystal, and you can't use it either way.
Mm-hmm.
You are not able to use the power of the silver crystal. So I think that they sort of connect over this isolation that they feel.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I did enjoy the character choice as well, the character wardrobe choices that they did with Sailor Pluto with Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance,
yes.
she has the keys that are on top of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, on top of the skirt. And it's like, you can almost picture that, like, little scene where she's hugging Sailor Pluto, like, hello or goodbye after they have, like, a little tea party
mm-hmm.
or something, and her slipping one of the keys off of her belt. So I really enjoyed that they had that, and
yeah.
they didn't have that in the classic series.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And Sailor Pluto, unfortunately, is a little underused. I just want her to be used
I know.
More. I wish she could have went out, like, all right, I'm going to, like, take my break from my post after so many
yeah.
years and just, but instead she's like, bye, I'll take care of my girl.
Is there a spinoff for Sailor Pluto, like in manga
she
or anything
She should have gotten
like
a spinoff.
They should all have spinoffs.
I
want
to see some of the battles that she's done. I mean, she,
oh, gosh,
she doesn't
yes.
have reinforcements. She doesn't have backup.
She must be powerful.
She is the it,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, this is sort of backtracking, though, to, I know you were disappointed with Dead Scream, but I felt like, overall, I enjoyed that scene. Like, I agree, I would have liked to see the sort of 90s stock footage animation for that attack, because those are fun. Everybody
yeah,
likes
yeah,
those.
Of course.
But I did feel like, whoa, she is powerful.
Oh,
and if
do.
Chibiusa had not shown up when she did, like, they could have easily
I
been
totally
toast.
I totally agree. They would have been blasted.
Yeah.
So, that being said, Sailor Pluto, and then finally, at the very end, we see King Endymion.
Yes!
Yeah.
Ghost King Endymion.
Ghost King Endymion.
Yeah.
Which was a running theme for it, because you have the you know, Zoicide and them as ghosts.
Yes.
You know, ghost power,
yeah.
you know, powerful with
Jedi
the
Jedi ghosts. It's okay.
Jedi
that's,
ghosts.
That's what they are.
And then also the sisters, you know, lending their power to things. So that was, and then he's been lending his power and advice to pass Endymion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, that was a pretty cool running theme. I think we're going to see something like that again, you
yeah.
know, in the future.
Yeah.
I love how connected Endymion is, like, just to the Earth and to all aspects of himself. Like, I love seeing the way that they play with the powers that Endymion does have, because he's certainly not the focus. The focus is the Sailor Guardians
sure,
and
absolutely.
Their extreme magical powers, but he's got interesting powers
he's
as well.
He's got stuff in his own right.
Yeah.
And watching just him from a, you know, future him, you can tell that he's grown into his own, and he's like a force not to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
But before it was like, all right, well, he's powerless, but he's just walking around in a tuxedo suit. Anything else on this episode you guys want to talk about?
Let me think. I'm like looking through my notes.
Okay, well, for me, I think that, like I said before, with like the the usage of power,
yeah,
you know, from people that are, let's be honest, they're probably in just a slight different dimension than, you know, our current one. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're dead, because then they wouldn't be able to give the advice and the power that they're able to give.
Accurate.
So I think, you know, making prediction, have not seen the manga, obviously, that we'll find some way, well, Sailor Moon will find some way to utilize the Sailor Guardian's power, the ones that were kidnapped and are, like, incapacitated now. She'll find some way to utilize that in some sort of final battle with Prince Diamond.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. kind of reminiscent of classic series Her Against Queen Beryl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
know, I love that scene. I love that scene.
The showdown between
exactly.
her and Beryl Talia.
The elevation. They're going to get in on that, and that's going to wipe out maybe Wise Man, if not Prince Diamond.
Yeah.
All
right. I know what I want to talk about. How terrible the 30th century looks.
Oh, I know. It's so sad.
First of all, it was terrifying when they were initially traveling through the space-time vortex and Chibiusa lost hold of their hands. Uh-huh. That was terrifying.
Blasted.
And then when they made their way through the door, number one, I loved that the first person Chibiusa grabbed the hand of was Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
To be like, come on, future mom. We're going through past mom. We're going to go take care of things.
I know. Every once in a while, she's like, you know what? You're very important to me.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, she showed that. So, all right. So let's move on to some news and gossip. Right.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, guys. So here's the thing. I am going to give this to Emma Fife because she found some stuff.
I sure did. So Anime Boston was this weekend, and Viz Media had a bunch of really big announcements regarding Sailor Moon. Not only the classic 90s anime series, which they have been dubbing, but also Sailor Moon Crystal has been officially announced that the cast who is dubbing the 90s version will be reprising their roles in the dub of Sailor Moon Crystal.
Fantastic.
They also announced many of the cast members of the major players in the Black Moon Clan for the second half of the Sailor Moon story arc of the classic 90s series. So I am looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, do you know if they're going to keep the original Sailor Moon for the entire time? Because we know that she was substituted out while the original actor was going through a pregnancy or something like that. And I believe she was substituted out for season two or season three. Because, you know, there was that change.
My understanding is that Stephanie Shea is going to be Sailor Moon all across the board. Yeah, she's fantastic.
I love that.
I'm pretty excited about a couple of the dub voice actors that they're going to have. Cassandra Lee Morris is going to be the voice of Pets. She does the dub voice of Kyubey in Puella Madoka Magica, so she's played a much more terrifying bad guy than Pets. And then Matthew Mercer, who is the voice of Captain Levi in Attack on Titan, is going to be Prince Damon.
Look at that.
Nice.
You know, I just got to say, it's great that there's dubbing, but it's so unnecessary. Honestly, like, just leave it as it is, because a lot of things get lost in translation as well.
I totally agree. I mean, though I find that dubs nowadays are leaps and bounds better than they were when we were kids.
Yeah.
And they don't tend to cut stuff up and change stuff the way that they used to do. I mean, the Deke dub, the Viz Media dub, it is not. Because the Deke dub cut huge portions out and had very over-the-top voice acting, shall we say. That the voice acting in the new dub of Sailor Moon comes from a much more honest acting kind of place. But I do agree that, you know, I think there is something to be said for watching something in the language in which it was originally intended to be seen. Yeah. I can read. I'm happy to read subtitles. Yeah. I think I pay attention better when I'm reading subtitles.
Yeah, I think so too.
I will say that I would kind of like to hear the dubbing, like something that I brought up before. I love what they're doing with Crystal. I mean, it's very harmonious with like the different voices. But I do miss the character voices. Like the character voices. I miss Molly. Mm. I mean, I'll be honest. I missed her talking like that.
Yeah.
Whatever. You missed her Jersey accent.
Yeah. I miss it because just for someone talking in a different way to where I can understand it from my cultural point of view, like that there's a huge difference with it. It gives that person more backstory for me.
Fair enough.
Even if it's not addressed in the actual episode. It's like, she's from Jersey. I know her.
Yeah. I get it. All right. That being said, we can move on to some predictions. I know Markia did a little bit before.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, it's totally okay. Prediction. It's always weird to do predictions because some people read the manga, some people are like right where it stops, and then of course we've got our Markia, which I love. She's our predictions queen. We need someone like that on the panel, you know? Yeah. Absolutely. And okay, so I can predict because I'm pretty much right there. I think that gosh, I don't know. It's so hard. I have no I just hope that we see more Sailor Pluto soon. soon. And that's all I can say. It's so hard.
Okay. Speaking as somebody who can't really predict because I know exactly what happens, I do want to give a little shout out to somebody who mentioned us on the Twitter chat roll.
Nice.
Brandon Christopher mentioned that Chibiusa is much easier to like in this series than in the classic series.
Very true, Brandon.
And I predict that anybody who was previously a Chibiusa hater is going to like her now.
That's fair enough because I actually really couldn't stand her previously. Now I'm like, okay, I'm starting to feel for you. What's happening here?
Yeah. You know? It's like I can relate with you now and I get why you took the brooch this time.
Yeah.
Not in the past.
Yeah, they just made her a lot more likable. Where the other time, just exaggerated her character so much to the point where you're like, oh my god, she's in this scene right now. I know she's really important, so we have to watch this, but granted, it's fine.
Well then, okay, for another prediction then, I predict that yes, there will be Dark Lady, because they're not going to
They better have Dark Lady.
They're going to have Dark Lady. And I also predict that using stylistic choices, it's going to look very uncomfortable when it's her and Cass and Demian involved. And that maybe even there will be like a little cutscene where Ghost and Demian is there, and then that'll be uncomfortable too.
You know who else I want to see other than Sailor Pluto? I want to see Sailor Mercury, Mars, and Jupiter back in action. So come back already. Come back very soon. Very, very soon.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So that completes our after show for Sailor Moon Crystal. So we won't be back for another 2 weeks. It makes me sad every single time.
But happy Easter.
Yes. Happy Easter. Thank you guys for joining us. And panel? Please tell everyone where they can find you.
Well, I'm Markia McCarty. You can find me at Markia McCarty, MarkiaMccarty. Let's talk Sailor Moon and let's talk wrestling.
Every time you say MCC, I'm like, wiki, wiki. I always want to do that. MCC. MCC.
And I'm Emma Fife. You can find me on Twitter at Emma Fife. Also Instagram, any kind of social media at Emma Fife. You can find me on the Face Off After Show and the Transformers Robots in Disguise After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. And if you like listening to the sound of my voice and you like Sailor Moon, which you probably do because you're listening to/ watching this, you can also listen to me talk about it more on my other Sailor Moon podcast. It's called Love and Justice. You can find it in the iTunes store if you look it up. Sailor Moon, it'll be like the third one that pops up in the podcast section of the iTunes store. And you can follow us also on Twitter at LNJPod.
Love and Justice, what a terrible name.
I know.
It has nothing to do with anything.
Nothing to do with Sailor Moon.
I mean, my goodness. I guess you're a Sailor Venus fan then.
I am, yeah. I just came back from WonderCon where I was cosplaying Sailor Venus. So
awesome.
Follow me on the Instagrams and you'll see
I saw that. You look really cute. And then she does, Markia does Sailor Mars as well.
Oh,
big fan of Ray.
Oh, man.
Really cute. All right, guys. And you can all along the way, hashtag ABTV Sailor Moon to continue those comments because we love them. Keep them coming.
Yes.
And you can follow me at K-A-O-R-I-O-U-S. That's Kaorius on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, everywhere, anywhere with that Kaorius. And you can follow the whole entire AfterBuzz team here at AfterBuzz TV. We have a lot of shows for you. So check it out and thank you guys for tuning in and we'll catch you guys in 2 weeks for some more Sailor Moon Crystal.
Yay!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.